But wrap your minds around this, gentlemen.
Come on, we got souls, Tito.
I hate curses and I hate all of you.
All right, America, have your laugh.
Sisters, give each other a kiss and make up.
Man, the guy's talking about incest. It's not funny. The guy needs help.
Price is wrong, bitch.
I get it. You don't like me. I explode.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah, Marie Maloney is dancing around like a big old goofball. Welcome to Adam Sandler,
just
please.
Love that beautiful intro. Okay, guys. Welcome to Adam Sandler. Please stop.
Don't take this from
me. I'm Marie Maloney.
Do not, nope.
This is Robert Bacon.
Nope.
And we do the complete retrospective of Adam Sandler's movies. And we decide whether he should keep going or whether he should just stop.
You ruined everything. We've established a thing. Now people don't know what they're listening to. You
okay,
guys, you heard
a
it.
A woman can introduce a show.
No.
Just as often.
A woman could be anything
except
for president.
Stop right
or
now.
Or introduce a
stop
show.
Stop right now. Stop
they
right
could be
now.
Anything else.
I'm going to go ahead and stop you right now and tell you to.
That's just the rules.
Bacon, please stop.
I don't
Bacon,
make the rules.
Please stop.
I don't believe that was a joke. Don't send in mean emails. this week we are looking at Adam Sandler's first serious role with the film Punch Drunk Love. It was released on November 1st, 2002, the second film that year that was released. Next week is the third one. We did skip one film. He played a townie in The Animal, but I don't think anyone's going to argue that he is.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The Animal. Okay.
That's a Rob Schneider film.
We'll get
to that one if we do Rob Schneider
Rob
playstyle.
Rob Schneider. Ugh. Okay,
the plot synopsis is a psychologically troubled novelty supplier is nudged towards a romance with an English woman, all the while being extorted by a phone sex line run by a crooked mattress salesman.
What?
Standard.
That's a weird. Wait, they introduce a weird B plot? In the synopsis?
Oh, yeah. Marie has never seen this movie.
No, yeah. I got through like 20 minutes and I was like, no, thanks.
Okay.
But well, that was
when,
also
when
like
that?
7 years ago.
Okay. I saw this in college, like freshman year in the dorms with like some friends, and I was just like just coming into understanding film, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Like,
cool.
It's so artistic.
So we have very different takes.
Yeah, but I'm going to be honest.
Memories of this film.
I've done so much drinking since then that I remember very, very little of this film. So I
so
might
many
be wrong.
Brain
I might
cells
not like
gone.
It. They, oh, that he can't get back.
he really can't.
the budget.
Can't get those years back. Can't get those brain cells back,
oh,
you know?
Oh, my God. Well, I can go back. Just be like the old.
Oh,
what's
God.
Up, fellow kids?
What are the fashions today?
Hey, I'm wearing really skinny jeans and baggy socks.
Look at my teeny tiny tie.
I got the. It's just a string.
It's a string.
Just of a string. So what you kids are up to?
It's literally a shoestring.
I'm too big to wear those skinny ties. It just makes me look bigger. I just wear a normal tie and it looks like a skinny tie. Budget for this film, $25 million. It only grossed $18 million.
Dang, so that's a flop.
Yeah. This, well, part of the reason, here's a couple of things. Because this one was released on November 1st, and Adam Sandler's animated film, 8 Crazy Nights, was released November 27th, just like 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, whatever
it
is.
I mean, just in time for Hanukkah, obviously.
Yeah, but 3.5, whatever. But like, that's, and then it's a lot of movies for that year for him, too.
Yeah, he was.
Also, it's
heavy.
Kind of an art film. You know, it's not for everybody.
Mm hmm.
Adam Sandler was nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Actor.
Okay.
And his only nomination for a Golden Globe.
Wow.
He lost to Jack Nicholson in About Schmidt. Amazing film.
Never seen it.
Oh my God, you get to see Kathy Bates' titties.
Oh, we talked about this before, and I asked you if they were nice, and you wouldn't
what?
Respond.
I still won't respond.
I was like, how big is the areola? Tell me more about him. And you said no.
Marie, stop. Marie, stop. Marie. I will make fun of...
How many flicks would it take to get arrested?
Oh, my Lord.
I have to ask you something.
Jesus. Just let it go.
All right, here's
this
the trailer.
This is the trailer.
I wanted to ask you something because you're a doctor, right?
Yeah.
I don't like myself sometimes. Can you help me?
Mary, I'm a dentist.
Hi, this is Georgia.
This is Barry Egan.
So what do you do, Barry?
I have my own business. We have a non-breakable handle. Let me demonstrate for you.
You're married, aren't you?
No.
Larry, that's your sister.
There's this friend of mine from work, and I want you to meet her. This is Lena.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
It must be weird for you to have so many sisters.
Actually, no, it's very nice.
All right. Remember we used to call you gay boy and get all mad?
What's that?
We were calling you gay boy and you got so mad.
I saw your picture and I really wanted to meet you.
Boy, are you lying?
No. I didn't want to get too far along on going out and be hiding something.
This is Barry.
Hey, it's Georgia.
How did you get this number?
I was wondering if maybe you could help me out with some money.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
You've just made a war for yourself that you can't afford.
I'm going to Hawaii on Friday.
Hawaii? I was thinking about going there.
Really?
I'm going to start a collection of puddings and coupons that can be redeemed for freaking flyer miles.
That's insane.
This is Barry.
You canceled your credit card.
That's a bunch of bull! Get your supervisor on the phone!
Yeah.
What's your name, sir?
You're sick.
No. Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
Are you threatening me?
Yes.
That wasn't good! You're dead!
Okay. Ow, ow!
And all at once I knew it.
So much strength in me, you have no idea. I have a love in my life. It makes me stronger than anything you can imagine.
He needs me.
Well, yeah, so it start that. What a great way to start this podcast. Accidentally started the trailer. It's a little weird. It's a little long and a little weird to listen to. Hopefully you guys made it through that. But yeah.
Yeah. I went from being like, cool, yeah, artsy film, to being very nervous. Very nervous.
Yeah. And unusually, John, I should have looked this up. I know this person. Brian, B-R-I-O-N. Oh my God. Email us in about how much of an idiot I am, because I actually have a bunch of his music on my computer.
Is it a composer?
Yeah, he's a good composer.
Okay.
Anyway, he was just experimenting with sounds and tones.
Cool.
To try a different like feel with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very experimental.
You heard that a little bit in the
trailer.
The really long trailer.
It might have been a normal one. Just felt longer.
Pew, 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 piano play weird.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind. It's kind of an experimental film. And like an artsy film.
It.
Like a really expensive art film.
Very expensive artsy filmy.
Yeah. All right. We will watch the movie. Here's the format. We will watch the movie together, stopping at every 30 minutes to discuss it so far. Each of us has one stop card that we could use to pause the movie before that 30 minutes is up, just in case there is something that we need to talk about. Marie, you ready for this one?
A little nervous.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go.
Stop card.
I used a stop card. And I can't, and Murray blew out this thing. Alright, it's my stop card, Murray.
Okay.
Murray Maloney. So Adam Sandler's in the grocery store, and he's buying items to claim frequent flyer miles. And it's been nice and quiet. We've been paying attention. There's been a couple laughs, because it's not really a funny movie. It's a drama. But Murray Maloney, and I quote, said, wow. Old healthy choice labels. With a straight face, she said this. Like, seriously said this.
And then I looked at her,
looked at my notes, and started writing, and Marie Maloney would not stop laughing. Marie Maloney, can you explain what the whitest girl in the world just said?
Okay, so... so, the reason...
Wow.
The reason I was
old
so...
healthy choice labels. What?
Okay.
In the fuck? Okay. So many weird things have happened, Marie, in this movie. Marie. Wow. Old healthy choice labels.
It's so crazy to me.
You're not even
like...
a designer.
Because, like, I just remember that. Like, very specifically. 2002. It's a health-conscious time. I remember that, like, that more Etika font on the Healthy Choice label. And I was just like, oh, my God, Healthy Choice is so different. The label's so different. So much rebranding, you know?
Remember when you made fun of me for pointing out the sub sandwich thing?
Okay, you...
Wow. Old healthy choice labels. If you were in high school right now, that would be your high school quote.
I just forgot that they looked like that. And it surprised me.
That's it. I just needed to pause the movie. I used my stop card so Marie could catch her breath. Because she realized what she did. She knew what she did.
I did.
So if you watch this movie, just remember to yourself, wow, old healthy choice labels. I know what Marie's tweeting out when our tweet goes out. Also follow us on Twitter.
If you like healthy choice labels, you're going to love this episode.
What's our Twitter? Adam Sandler, please stop. Oh, there's something
moved.
I was
going
PLS.
To promo it at the end.
Okay,
but...
we'll bring it up then.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
You caught me off guard.
If you go to AdamSandlerPleaseStop.com, it has a link to our Twitter.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the movie. Is done looking at healthy choice labels, and we have made it 30 minutes into the movie. Marie, I know for a fact that we are watching this movie and having a different experience.
Yes, we are.
Marie Maloney is dying. How do you feel so far? What? Tell me what your problem is.
God damn it. My first note is literally just, what the fuck is happening in this film? And you know what? I had some insight into why I knew I wasn't going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
When I didn't... Guys, I come into this cold and Bacon feeds me facts and I react. That's our... that's kind of our yin and yang here.
Yeah.
And then when we started this, I saw the director was Paul Thomas Anderson. And I was like, oh, fuck.
What's wrong with Paul? What's wrong with PTA?
Okay. So this is probably like more of a personal experience, but like my college, like longtime boyfriend was obsessed with Paul Thomas Anderson and I couldn't stand his films.
Here it is.
Oh, and it was a big point of contention between us. But we never watched Punch Drunk Love together, so...
Welcome to Marie Maloney's Ex-Boyfriend's Ruined Movies.
Yes. Okay, so I have another note. I personally think... this film isn't artsy. It's a film that's trying way too hard to be artsy.
Okay.
And then the stuff with his sisters mm-hmm. is insane. what we learn from the first few scenes is that Adam Sandler's character has 7 sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So yikes. Yikes to begin with.
And then, but, like, 5 or 6 brother-in-laws.
Yes.
I love that reveal when they were talking and shaking hands. That was great.
Yeah, okay. Most of them are married.
Mm-hmm.
We do discover he has one that's not.
Yep.
But that doesn't matter because he goes into a family party and they're like, oh, my God, he used to be a gay boy. Gay boy? Remember? Gay boy? Like, it is so... You think the millennium is more... enlightened. And then you go back to 2002 and you're like, God, we were so bad. We were so bad back then. Like, this is not cool. Like, I'm thinking that this is an attempt at an insight into anxiety. I relate to these feelings because I come from a large family and a large extended family. And when we get together, like the scene where he's at the party and it's like loud and people are just like, yeah, like yeah, talking over each other. That's what my family parties are like. So I get that. It's cool and it's shown in an attempted artsy way. But man, oh man, I just think this is a film that's trying way too hard. And I feel like that about all PTA's films.
I'm glad you picked that up. Go on.
Bacon.
I am loving this film. I do believe that it is trying hard in some points, but I do believe that it's. I think it's taking the idea, like, so when you talk about like them calling him gay boy, what I get out of that is it doesn't really matter what exactly they're saying. It's like it's through, we're seeing this movie through his brain. And that's just what he is hearing them say to him. It doesn't really matter what is happening in real life because there is no, because that's not what this movie is about. So I feel like it's just hitting those points with him because he's feeling this way. I don't think he's actually talking this way or acting this way around people because he is the only character that is acting this way. He's kind of weird. And I believe this is the way that he perceives himself to be reacting. And I think we're getting his perceptions through that. It's making me feel anxious. It's making me feel sad for him when things happen, like the car accident in the beginning. It's like raw and it like happens. And
yeah, then, I do feel like this is an attempt at like, this is what people who suffer from anxiety and depression feel like all the time. Like yeah, you're feeling this through the film.
Yeah,
and
I so understand that.
I am getting that.
But you don't like it.
I do not like it.
I just want to say, as during the movie, I quickly looked it up. It is Jean Brion. He's French. And the reason why I like him is because I have, he did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which is my favorite movie
ever. I love Michel Gondry. I don't like PTA at all.
He also did music for I Heart Huckabees, which I really enjoyed the soundtrack to that, and Magnolia, which I really like. I really like that guy. There's a great bit. Marie actually had some life shown at the part. Here, I'll just play the clip.
I wanted to ask you something because you're a doctor, right?
Yeah.
I don't like myself sometimes. Can you help me?
Mary, I'm a dentist.
That was a good bit.
Oh, no? Yeah, I loved that. My dad's a dentist, and I laughed real hard.
And then I just have... yeah. But it was like... So that was like funny, but also he's like... I think that just represents like reaching out to people that you shouldn't be reaching out to. So that's just what that represents.
I can say firsthand, I'm not equipped to help you.
I'm not asking.
I'm not.
I'm fine now, Marie. Everything's fine. I'm good to go.
Don't ask me, please.
I would never ask you, Marie. I would never ask you.
Please don't.
Miss.
Do it.
Wow. Old healthy choice labels. I also really like to say that I really like the camera movement in some points. I understand what you're saying. I feel like sometimes it's just being artsy for the sake of artsy with its camera movement. But sometimes with its camera movement and music, it is spot on in conveying a message of when he's on the phone talking to the phone sex lady. And the first time you see it, he sits down at a table and then the camera, he's center and the camera pans left. So he's screen right. You're like, oh, that was kind of weird. And then he walks around a little bit more. He sits down again and does it again. I'm like, oh, I see what it's trying to do now. And like that kind of stuff is, I'm really liking it. So, but here's the thing about this movie. This is actually perfect because I feel like either you really like this movie or you hate this movie from people who are like,
yeah, we're the yeah, opposite sides of it.
Because people are like, oh, you're doing Adam Sandler movies? Oh, Punch Drunk Love's my favorite. Or like, what's Punch Drunk? Like a lot of people also haven't even seen it.
I have one more note.
Okay, what?
I forgot about Venetian blinds. How fucking disturbing they are. They're the worst blinds.
I will agree with you.
Oh,
on
they
that.
They swivel and they jerk around.
They flap around
they
so
flap
long.
They flap around so much. They're horrible. And they're so 90s/ like
late
to
80s.
Mid
yeah.
2000s.
Yeah.
They're such a thing.
You know what my least favorite thing about Venetian blinds is? is like when one of them...
All of the things are my least favorite things about
is
the
one
Nation
snaps
Bloods.
Off the holding thing and like falls on the
yes!
ground.
And then you're
and
just
you
like,
to try to
this isn't even fucking worth it.
Snap it back
in. And then there's
in.
One little hole where the light's coming yeah. in. Venetian blinds are horrible. If you have them in your home,
get
throw them out
them.
Immediately.
Gross.
Disgusting.
Gross.
I feel so sad for
but
you.
But there is... that's perfect for this guy, though. His apartment is like...
Yeah.
I feel like this apartment
his
is perfect for him.
Very sad. Kind of
looks like my apartment.
You guys heard it. I said it before he said that. Okay? So...
Well, he has a little talk box like I did. Well, he's a single guy. I'm a single guy. I live in Lincoln Park, Lakeview, Chicago, though.
No,
so, like,
your apartment's, like... better decorated
thank
except
you.
For that scary
oh I got the why for those of you internet fans I got the why though the why though
like
a giant image
baby.
A 24 yeah. by 36 inch giant
it's
fat
unnecessary
baby.
It's absolutely
I love
not
it and then in my bathroom I have Jeff Goldblum with a gorilla as my shower curtain
and it scared the crap out of me once.
I didn't tell her
he didn't tell me that it was a new curtain and it's literally scared the shit out of me. I, like, fell to the floor. I thought there was a man in there.
Okay.
Horrible.
So far, Marie hates it. I like it. Let's continue on?
I guess.
Let's go.
You've gotta hope that there's someone for you, as strange as you are. With the things that you do without trying too hard. Cause you can bend the truth till it's soothing you. These things that you're wrapping all around you. Go.
Marie's mouth is still wide agape, and we are two-thirds of the way done with this movie.
It's not at all. I just have a disillusioned emoji mouth, basically.
Marie, any changes in your feeling?
Well, I said this
I was
to
kind
you.
Of explaining it as we were going of my feelings to hopefully maybe get you
on
my side.
See, I flip back and forth between whether this is all in his head or if it's actual real life because...
I feel like,
the
Marie,
waiter
honestly,
scene
sometimes
in the
it is.
The bathroom...
Yes, that
like,
is...
Like, that
yeah.
is like... I was like, that's not in his head. Like...
That's real life.
That's real life.
No, things that are happening are real life, but the dialogue... I feel like is filtered through him is what I'm saying. And sometimes some things are just filtered through him of things that happen and don't, but it switches back. And I don't think that everything that we see in the movie 100% happens. We already explained the plot. And I know in this podcast, we're not going to kind of dive deep into this, but I feel like the plot is not really the main point of this, but Adam Sandler is a guy who sells novelty items. He kind of has a mental problem. We don't know exactly what it is. It might just be he's depressed
like,
and he's also anxious.
Yeah,
and
anxiety mixed
anxiety.
With depression.
Yes, he is. Yeah. And he has seven sisters that he has things on, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He seems
beleaguered by them.
He's starting a love. He has a love interest with this woman. And
which is so, like, the dialogue with her is, like, really bizarre. It's
okay.
off-putting to me.
And
I'm aware that it's going through his head.
Okay.
And
there's two other things that go along with this. The one thing is there's a side plot with him. Healthy Choice has a thing with frequent flyer miles, and he's exploiting a marketing mistake to try and get, like, a ton of frequent flyer miles,
yeah.
which I love this side plot. And the other side plot is one night he called a phone sex hotline because he was just, like, drunk. Not drunk. He was just depressed.
Lonely. Yeah.
And lonely. And then, but he gave him all his information.
All of his information.
And now this lowlife person is extorting him, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
So sad. Like, the second they're like, and your social security number? I was like, yeah. That's when you hang up the phone, bud.
Yeah, so that's all that's happening. And right now we're at the point where he's talking to the guy on the phone about the freaking flyer miles. Yeah,
he wants to get the hell out of the Dodge. And
but it takes 6 to 8 weeks to process those it. Miles. So he punches a hole in the wall. And as he's touching a piano, you could see that on his knuckles, it's in the cuts in his hands, it says love.
It's drawn very poorly. I could not read it.
Yeah, well, you're not supposed to. It's not supposed to be completely obvious. I don't think it's not. Nothing in this movie is completely necessary to get. I feel like this is a movie that you need to watch multiple times, kind of like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I feel like
who has the goddamn time? Okay.
Well, if it's a really good movie, I feel like with Eternal Sunshine, you get the basic plot the first time you walk through it.
We're getting our souls sucked out of our nostrils watching other Adam Sandler films.
You say that.
I can't watch this multiple times. To get the layers of meaning?
Yeah, I talked a lot. Go ahead and say what you wanted to talk about.
I will say, so my commentary is not all negative. I really enjoyed when the scene where, and again, we don't know if this is real or if it's in his head.
Whatever.
But Emily Watson's character, like, he's about to leave her apartment complex.
Oh, that was really great.
And she calls down and she's like, FYI, I wanted to kiss you when you left my apartment. But
he's like, really?
I did. And he's like, you really did? And then it's like one of those huge complexes. We've all been there.
Yeah.
And it's super confusing. And he like can't find the whole thing her looks the apartment. Same. But then he gets back to her. And they kisses kiss. Her. And it's so great.
Also, Marie, it's the phone call. It's like, are you Barry? And so far, every time he's gotten a phone call, it's been bad.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, no. They right. found him there.
They found him there somehow.
But it's her, so that's another great switch. That whole scene was so well done.
It was good. It gave me, like, happy tingles.
That's what you needed in this one.
I really did. I really needed it.
It was really well done in that part.
And then also, I'd like to talk about car radio antennas.
Oh, we're going to talk about that for half an hour?
Holy shit. I forgot that cars, sometimes when you started them, they had like the antenna.
A motorized antenna that went out.
A motorized antenna.
And
oh
sometimes they just
God.
Had an antenna. Most of the time they just had an antenna that
just
sat
just
there.
Yeah, just flopping around.
Now cars just have that little fin. Or do cars even have a fin anymore?
No, they absolutely do not.
It's just unnecessary.
No.
Because AM, FM was like, well, that was actually just your FM. Antenna.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that used to be a big deal. What a time. And antenna toppers. To find your car, to find your car in a parking lot, you have to put a little jack-in-the-box head on there.
A little ping pong ball.
Yeah,
on
or
top.
Something like that. Yeah. Can I talk about several times in this movie? The thing's been brought up about a story about him trying to build a doghouse with a hammer, and then are you opening up? Marie found my flask. Is there anything in there, Marie? Drink
it's,
it.
We're
Marie,
less. Drink it. We need to get more drunk in Punch Drunk.
Drink it right. What is, oh my God, what's in there? Fireball?
It's Fireball.
Oh my God.
Story time. Well, Bacon left this flask that you can hear at my home in December, and it's been sitting there ever since. And today,
I've been looking for my Chicago flag.
Today, as I went to go leave to come here, my roommate Alyssa was like, hey, are you going to take Bacon's flask back to him?
I
was like,
I was
oh yeah, I guess
that.
I will. And I was like, well, this flask is really shitty. So like, fuck I don't know you. If he wants this back. And then we were like, okay, well, clearly
I got that flask for free.
He colored over something and put a Chicago flag sticker. So we were like, we're detectives, you see. So we were looking at, this flask and Alyssa's like, I think it's like pink cheetah print that he colored over. And then I go, no, oh my God, it's pieces of bacon. Bacon took a permanent marker and colored over a flask and then put a
Chicago
flag over it to make it look better. Why wouldn't you just own it? Just own the bad flask. Don't try and fix the Don't try and fix the flask.
Here's the thing. My last name's Bacon, and my
parents... Just own the bacon!
My parents get a lot of gag gifts from their friends with, like, bacon stuff on it.
I'm opening it up again.
No, Marie, the reason why I covered it up is because it's not just bacon. If it was just bacon, I'd be cool with it. But the front says, like, you can never have too much bacon, or, like, I love bacon.
No, I love it. You have to own it. No,
and
you need to own it.
I had that Chicago Fled sticker sitting around forever, and I just covered it
He colored this whole thing with a permanent marker.
Oh, it took 2 seconds. I have a giant Sharpie. That's it. Great story, Marie. Let's go back to what I was talking about.
I'm going to keep getting drunk.
There's this childhood trauma that happens to him when he's building a doghouse in the backyard with a hammer, and he ends up, like, breaking a window or something
like
that.
Yeah, and his sisters relentlessly make fun of him.
Now,
we don't know if that's true.
No, it's not, because when he went on a date, it was brought up again, and then he freaks out and he went into the bathroom. And from somebody who's had childhood trauma, I just think that moment of childhood trauma has, like, stuck with him, and it comes up.
It rears its ugly head
At inappropriate times. I don't think she mentioned anything about that. I don't think that she was even talking about his childhood. I think it was something that set it off that made him feel that way. Because as somebody who's gone through therapy and has gone, like, oh, why do you feel this way about this thing that happened to you? And then I realize, like, oh, I have a thing that happened in my childhood that I don't think affects me at all. And it totally affects the way that I perceive reality. And now I need to go back and fix that. And then you have to, that's a big long thing. Also, it's very complicated, you guys. But I feel like that's a good thing.
The human mind is a complicated place to be.
Well, it's a mess. It's a mess. And I really, I love that came up again. And I really love that part about the movie. Also, I think this is a little bit of a kind of a deconstruction of a rom-com, a little bit. It's a romantic comedy, kind of, because there's funny parts.
Interesting.
And we're kind of deconstructing it. And now I'm like, every time we watch these, because I'm like, Adam Sandler is a smart guy, I feel like. And we haven't even talked about his performance in this movie.
Which is really great.
It's even if you don't like this movie.
I'm not enjoying the movie, and I'm still thinking his performance is great.
And it's 99% him, and what's the other guy who shows up?
Oh, Luis Guzman?
Luis Guzman is a national treasure.
Yes.
He's amazing. And I'm starting to think, like,
his little pot belly, like, just walking around.
He's so funny. I love that man.
He's great. I really enjoy him.
Every time I'm just like, Adam Sandler is so talented and so funny, and I think he's so smart that, like, now that he's making shit and now that he's made this, is, like, the shit that he's making, like, part of this artistic thing? Because I'm just trying to explain it in my head of why he doesn't.
It's not. There's a lot of things about it that are good. Like, I think the cinematography is beautiful.
So great.
Music.
I mean, the music.
What this is evoking in the viewer. Like, it's forcing you to feel feelings that you don't normally feel in movies. And you don't want to feel. But, like many Sandler films, the relationship is a little bit sped up. They've had a date, and it's, like, weirdly advancing super fast, and
in this world I feel like that happens, though.
Also, it's just bizarre, and also he's not a reliable source, so she's just like, I saw your picture and I really wanted to meet you. You have a buzzed haircut and seven sisters, and I saw your picture and I'm dying to meet you. And then they're just like immediately like,
yeah, that's
date,
a little weird.
And it's just, it doesn't progress like a normal, even now, I feel like relationships don't progress like that.
All right, you know what? We're talking about, like, the movie's over, and we need to watch more of it. And you know what? This is probably going to be our longest episode, which it should be, because this is the most complicated film Adam Sandler's ever made.
This is the most complicated Adam Sandler movie we will see.
So stick with us. If you're the kind of person who, like, listens to this on your way to work and you have to pause it, listen to us on the way back, or, you know, whatever you have
to
do.
It's fine. This American Life is like an hour and 10 minutes.
Okay,
we're
but
good.
This American Life is like a ton of people and so much money and so much production. We don't have that, Murray. It's two idiots drinking in my living room. Hopefully I'll have a studio soon. I was talking to Marie about it.
Could get advertisers. I don't know.
Let's watch the end of this movie.
Make that pitch at the end.
Yes, so, okay, here we go.
Let's keep watching.
And all at once I knew at once, I knew he needed me. Until the day I die, I won't know why, I knew he needed me.
we have finished Punch Drunk Love. And I basically just talked to Marie the entire time of everything that was going on.
It's okay, though.
I feel like it's one of those movies. Anyway, go ahead, Marie. What do you got?
You should go first.
Okay. I feel like it's for a certain kind of person. I feel not like that sounded really snooty, and I don't want to come off as snooty. I feel like you need to be the kind of person who watches movies who is open to the idea of watching it again and being, you're totally cool with giving everything to the director and or the writer and kind of just being like, I don't exactly know everything that's going on. I'm trying to grab everything. This is an art film, and it's a film that is like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. You can't watch that movie one time and know it, like, and know exactly what goes on.
Right, but I feel like Eternal Sunshine is just more broadly appealing.
Oh, 100%. It's easier to get through on the first time.
Yeah. And this
But
is,
there's things that happen in Eternal Sunshine.
It's tough to get through on the first time.
Yeah, but then also people watch and Eternal Sunshine.
I remember why I turned this off the first time 7 years ago when I attempted to watch it the first time.
But there's people who watch Eternal Sunshine and come away from that movie with a completely different idea of what it actually is. So that's what's different. Is I feel like you can enjoy Eternal Sunshine with one view, but you're actually enjoying something that the authors, the original artistic thing
you come away from Eternal Sunshine with is like these people erase their significant other from their
lives. Yeah, well, the idea is like cool, yeah.
And then like, but the level, like the intent, the meat of it is like you can never truly relate, like erase someone. Because it erases important things that, like, make so you who you are.
That is the one...
Experiences make us who we are, and that's the
overarching theme of that movie. And that's why it's my favorite movie, is because that is the overarching theme.
Correct.
The first time you watch it, and the more you watch it, the more that you see... You dive deeper into what the film actually is. And then when you watch it enough times, you're like, oh... you're just doomed to repeat your mistakes because at the end it does a certain thing. I don't really want to get in. This is not what this is about, but I get what that is.
We're talking Sandler films here,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, we're talking. And in this film, I feel like there is no 100% overarching theme because this is the second time I watched it and it's been a long, long time since 2002 or 2003 probably around. Now I'm starting to get things that like, and I feel like I really want to watch this again. In like a month or two, I might get a feeling to watch this again by myself.
And feel different feels.
If you still don't like this movie, even after all my talk of and gushing over it, completely understand. This is not a movie for everybody. And this is a movie that pisses a lot of people off. Because this is...
I just want to talk about...
It's art. Yeah, go ahead.
It's in the cover. It's in every scene. It's the star of the show. I'm talking about the blue suit here, people. The blue suit deserves an Emmy, an Oscar nod. The blue suit is so choice.
It's great.
It's so beautiful. I love, just as a human woman, love a blue suit on a man.
Usually navy blue.
Yummy. Yumtown USA. It is so delicious. I love a blue suit.
This is a royal blue suit.
But it's
the pants could be a little bit more tailored.
It's a tinge darker. His tailoring is a little bit Donald Trump here.
Well, that's because it's 2002.
Yeah.
So like
suits were not into being fitted.
So that was like loose pants, a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
But like cool, you could still like he was rocking that suit.
Blue suits, men. Men listening, you're going to be drowning in poontang, okay?
So far, this podcast is all just of like how to hook up with Marie Maloney.
Bacon heard me freak out multiple times. There was
over healthy choice?
Such a long time. Oh, no, we've passed healthy choice. Adam Sandler's character arrives in Hawaii to see Emily Watson's character.
Mm-hmm.
There's this fucking song that plays for entirely too long that's like...
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I just wrote down, this is my note verbatim. this fucking song. He needs me. He needs me. It's like that over and over and over. The lyrics are literally just, he needs me.
Yeah.
And it's repeated for like, oh, so many times. It's so annoying. I couldn't stand it. Also, strappy sandals in the 2000s were disturbing. I was deeply, deeply disturbed by the scene when Emma Watson's character is in the hospital. Her feet are like crossed. She's getting examined by the nurse, but you just see her feet. And there are the most disgusting pair of strappy sandals on her feet.
Next note, Murray. Next note.
Next note, you're going to enjoy this.
Yep.
It just says, titties. Emma Watson's character never wears a bra.
No.
Never is wearing a bra. And ladies out there, don't start hating. Don't start sending your emails right now, because I'm going to say, ladies, you can do whatever you want with your chest.
But Marie's going to call it out.
With your butt. No, but it's really weird to see a woman dressed in business casual with a cardigan that isn't wearing a bra. It's really weird. I would say unprofessional. Business unprofessional, perhaps. I don't know why she's not wearing a bra and she's wearing so many cardigans. I can say firsthand, it's not comfortable. It is not comfortable.
All right, cool. Enough. That is, we're done with Fashion Corner with Marie Maloney. Basically, what happens is Adam Sandler finally goes to Hawaii to meet his love interest. They finally come back together, but then they get their car gets hit and he gets attacked by the people who are trying to collect money from him. These people who are extorting him because of the phone sex thing. He fights him off. He beats him up. She goes to the hospital and he leaves and goes all the way to Utah to fight the main bad guy, who is Philip Seymour Hoffman, who is always killing it.
Also, he's an amazing, but also PTA just loves him so much that he'll put him in anything.
Yeah.
He's in every PTA film. Literally.
And they have an ultimate showdown scene.
That is not a showdown.
It is awesome. Actually, here, just listen to it.
Fuck you. You're a pervert. You can be a pervert and not pay for it?
Don't you say that to me.
You called a phone sucker.
Shut up.
I didn't do anything. I'm a nice man. I mind my own business. So you tell me that's that before I beat the hell from you. I have so much strength in me, you have no idea. I have a love in my life. It makes me stronger than anything you can imagine. I would say that's that, mattress man.
You came all the way from L.A. to tell me this.
Yes, I did.
Tell the cops?
No.
All right. That's that.
So that is
that's that.
That is basically, it is like an old Western kind of like fight. That's a fight scene that we just saw, but with words.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was fun. I think dudes are inherently more impressed by that than women. Because it's peacocking.
Yeah, but the way that it was presented there is way cooler than any other peacocking.
It was cool and it was silly, but it's still peacocking, and a lady sees right through it. Am I right, girls?
Am I right?
Okay.
Here's the rest that I have is just like, it is so hard to make a complex movie with like different thoughts and different feelings because it feels like in a normal movie, it's easier to just be like, all right, in this scene, you feel this way. This is as an actor, you know, like, oh, this is how you should feel about this. And in this movie, it must have been really hard to, like, get, you know, like, all right, so
Yeah, but I think that's like a little bit what upsets me so much about Sandler's current work, because we know he's capable of so much more. Like, we've seen it here, we've seen it in Wedding Singer, we've seen it in, like, even in Billy Madison. I just feel like he's having so much fun, he's so invested, because we've seen so many of his other films. We know that it just goes so far down.
Yeah,
and
well, that's the problem.
What upsets me is, like, we know he's so much better, but he just doesn't care, or for whatever reason.
If anything, this movie has this.
Just has such acting chops in this.
Yes, the movie itself, the way that I feel about it, is an enigma, because it's like I love this movie that we just watched, and it makes me love Adam Sandler more. But at the same time, because I know that Adam Sandler can do this, it makes me hate Adam Sandler more.
Yeah, it makes you so angry.
It makes me love him more than I loved him, and it makes me hate him more than I hated him. And it's taking away that middle ground.
It's a weird dichotomy, yeah.
Yeah, but there's that slight part of me that's like, does he know this? And he's trying to, and it's like, no, he's not. He's just living his life. He's trying to have fun with his friends. He's trying to make these other movies. All right, so let's go to our rankings. So far, Marie and I have been exactly the same. And because this is the 10th movie, this is probably going to be the last time I go through all the movies. If you want to check to see our rank, go to AdamSandlerPleaseStop.com. After every episode, it'll be right our whole rank. And from probably here on out, we'll probably just do top five, bottom five.
Yep.
So here it is. Right now, we both have, in going from worst to first, Little Nicky, Going Overboard, Bulletproof, The Waterboy, Big Daddy, Mr. Deeds, Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, The Wedding Singer is sitting at number one. Marie, where in this list would you shoehorn Punch Drunk Love?
After Mr. Deeds.
Wow. You don't think this movie is as good as Mr. Deeds?
No, I don't think it's as good as Mr. Deeds.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm putting it in. Punch Drunk Love. Got it.
And then it's simply because it's just trying way too hard to be an artsy fucking film. It's embodying the classic, like, note we get all the time as improvisers, like, don't try, just do. Like, mm-hmm. It's trying. It's trying so hard. And I can see right through it. So, sorry.
We have our first disagreement.
Yep.
Finally.
Here we go.
Finally. Punch Drunk Love is number one for me.
Number one?
Punch Drunk Love. I typed it. It's set in. We are set for good.
Explain yourself. It's better than Wedding Singer?
It is so good, Murray. I like it so much. I feel like I could... I feel like I watched Wedding Singer and I don't need to see it again for another 20 years. I feel like this movie, again, I feel like it's so much more difficult to make a complex movie like this. Like, The Wedding Singer is great. I love The Wedding Singer, but it also follows like a typical movie tropes and feelings.
Totally, but it's a comedy and like, I don't...
We laughed several times during Punch Drunk Love.
We laughed like a total of three times.
It was really good laughs.
And
belly
laughs. One of your laughs was a result of me saying something. So
wow.
That was not even a... We're not going to count that
old
as a laugh.
Choice labels. For...
You don't get to count that as one of Punch Drunk Love's laughs. That's a Maloney laugh, okay?
Quote,
that
goes Marie on, Maloney, that goes 2017.
On, that goes on my board, okay? That goes in my movie.
I really, really liked it. I'm sorry, it's going to be my number one. I really, really liked it.
That's just insane. Like, I just feel like he was cast in this because he was a big name, like, not because it was, like,
a quintessential
Adam Sandler movie.
The whole reason why we're doing this is to review it as Adam Sandler movies. Adam Sandler's performance in this movie, Marie,
is really good.
Do you not agree that it's probably his best performance?
No, I don't agree.
You don't. You think Wedding Singer, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, and Mr. Deeds, he has
Singer,
a better?
Wedding Singer is like the like Italian chef of Adam Sandler performances. Like, it's a perfect storm.
Okay. But you...
It's got heart. It's got seriousness. he's acting really hard, but he's also having fun. Like, okay. That's why I love, yeah. Wedding Singer is staying number one for me.
But do you not think that his performance in Punch Drunk Love is better than Mr. Deeds?
I think his performance in Punch Drunk Love is great. I don't think Punch Drunk Love is that great a movie, though.
Yeah, because we're ranking the movies, not his performances. We're ranking the movies. But in performances, you'd put it as two.
Because
he crushes it.
Yes. Well, God, it's so hard.
Billy Madison does crush it, but that's so easy for him. He's basically just playing himself in Billy Madison.
It's a softball.
So you agree that it's a great performance, because the whole point of the podcast isn't really about this list. It's really about Adam Sandler as an actor, as a performer.
Yes.
So you don't think, so now we get to the thing, you don't think Adam Sandler should stop after this. Like, this is actually a good thing for him to do.
I absolutely do not think Adam Sandler should stop at this point.
At this point. So you're taking it back. I feel like this, after
Because
after Little Nicky, we said, please stop.
We did.
But now I feel like, because he did such a shit job in Little Nicky, that he did this movie, he's totally redeemed himself.
Well, we don't know also, like, while Little Nicky came out before, like, we don't know the shooting schedule of these, or
no, because that's, we're not a technical podcast, and that's what we're not trying to do. That is right, the point. Yeah.
But also, we're not just like, you can't say he justified Lil Nicky with Punch Drunk Love. I think he was just in demand, so he was like, Lil Nicky's my Happy Madison.
He could have said no to this,
but he said yes.
I don't think Lil Nicky was Happy Madison, was it?
When you hot, you say yes to everything, okay. You gotta grind.
I wish that Adam Sandler would make another one of these kind of movies and take a risk like this.
I think Funny People is his attempt at doing that.
Yeah,
and
we'll get to that one. Because I feel like that one was uneven when I remember that one. But we'll get to that one when we get to it. But yeah, okay. So I think I agree where you put it on yours. I understand how someone could feel that way. There's something about this movie that is going to stick with me compared to the rest of the movies that will not stick with me.
Okay. Right? I understand. Cool. I understand your viewpoint.
Awesome. You guys. And that is how you respect other people's opinions.
It sure is. Hey, guys, if you have opinions about our podcast.
Please don't.
You can tell us about them. On iTunes, please write us a review.
We know for a fact that people have left reviews and they are not showing up. So write more, please.
If you would like to tweet at us, you can find us at Sandler, please, PLS, stop, on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook, or you can email us at AdamSandlerPleaseStop@gmail.com.
And Marie is going to handle that directly.
I sure am.
So when you send that in, you're talking to Marie Maloney. So any Jew who has a royal blue suit and has a bar mitzvah coming up, you can.
Or if you just love Healthy Choice and you want to hash it out, I'm here for you. Okay.
Okay, that's the end of the podcast. Hey, guess what? You know what? Adam Sandler.
Don't stop yet.
Sorry about that.
I didn't know you had a sister.
Yes, I do. I wanted to tell you guys about the new Funders. We've been working on this, and we have a non-breakable handle, finally. Let me demonstrate for you. Okay, this was one of the old ones, so do we have a new one around, Lance? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.